doing? Come on, guys. That's it. All right, it's 5-2. serve my car.
Yeah.
Good morning, Christian Family Church. So sorry for the delay. Had a little technical difficulty, but bless God, we're still going to worship and give Him praise this morning, right? Thank you so much for being here this morning, early, ready for worship. I welcome you to stand up and give God some praise this morning. You know, every week, it's not just because I'm on this platform, but every week I'm so grateful to come to this church and be fed in this body by our pastors and to really bless God, hear the word uncompromised, the true word of God, and to be able to lift our hands in freedom. Give praise to God. I mean, does anybody else feel like that? This morning, I want to encourage you. Let's shout out to God with a voice of triumph. Let's lift praises on high to our God. Let's enter the throne room. Let's have an encounter with Him this morning. Everything that you've needed, everything that you've prayed for is found in His presence. And here we are gathered in this corporate anointing, giving praise and honor to our God. And if we're gathered together, He is here in the midst of us. Amen? So I encourage every person here to clap your hands, sing out a praise to our God this morning. Come on.
Whoa, the King of Jesus. Thank you.
No, wherever you will lead me, I will follow. Wherever you will call me, I will go. I will trust in you, blinded, without hearing any other sound but your voice. I will follow, God. Lord, we bless you this morning. We honor you this morning. We give you our praise and our honest worship. Ocean.
into deeper waters today. And our faith is made stronger today from being in the presence of the Lord. I am grateful for this praise and worship that we have. It ushers in the presence of God. It magnifies His Spirit in this place, but more importantly, in your hearts. The power of God has been imparted today into you so that you can take on whatever you have to do in the world. God has given you the victory. So today, we're going to celebrate here. We're going to worship, and we're going to have a fresh anointing with the word that comes forth. If you were here last Sunday, you know what I'm talking about. We had in our home groups this week, we all felt the same Spirit magnified in us from what we heard last week. It was amazing. So there's more to come. God has prepared a feast for us today, a great table that we can partake of. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm glad to be here with my wife, Anna, and we're standing in for Pastor Steve and Jill, who are in South Africa with their pastor, Theo, and they have a conference down there, and it's going great. They've all been refreshed. Pastor Steve has been preaching a lot, so I know that he's going to have some time of refreshing too, but he's down there. They'll be back next week. But he always leaves us with good speakers, good fresh word for us, and so we're going to have that again today. Amen.
Amen. Glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Or, you know, you might not be going to be today. Sometimes you don't feel like getting up on a Sunday, but you're always, always glad, especially when we have our amazing praise and worship family. Amen. Glad you came to church today.
Amen.
We can call you during the week and say you like the service and something you'd like for us to pray with you about. Anyway, so we're glad you're all here. Y'all look at your neighbor and say, I'm glad you're here today. I hope you came expecting. Amen. We're going to receive our tithe now. And I like that last song. We're just talking about my trust is without borders. I was thinking, yeah, my trust is without borders right here because I'm going to be standing where Pastor Jill stands. And receiving our tithe this morning. Amen?
Amen.
So, as I was praying about what to do this morning, or giving our tithe, Pastor Jill, we are so blessed every single week because we get to hear a tithing message, a message on giving. And how many know that to live this earth, you have to have money? We don't live in Jupiter and Mars where they don't need a currency like money, but we need money on this planet. So, to find out how to increase your money, to find out how to be blessed in your prosperity, in your banking, that's a good way to know, right? So I was looking, thinking about what am I going to teach today, and I don't know if anybody that went to Bible college, this is Pastor Theo Bumerons. He's the pastor of all the Christian family churches. There's like, how many now? There's like 350? Over 500 churches, of Christian family churches across the planet. And this is our Pastor Theo. Anyway, he wrote on the Bible school books, and there was a Bible college that my husband graduated from here. But anyway, I was flipping through the book, and there's tons of testimonies on giving and tithing and how to, you know, increase. And I was like, what should I teach on, Lord? And he dropped this testimony in my spirit, and I was like, oh, you may teach that one, or talk about that one. So it was about, it's about my son, Abel. Where's Abel at? I think he left the building. He's like, Mother. You're not going to talk about it, are you? But I asked for his permission to talk about this testimony, and he said I could. So Abel is my middle son. He's been playing guitar since he was 13 up on the stage here. He's our guitar boy, but he's been he's almost 25. He'll be 25 in 2 months. But he's since he's a junior in high school, he's been making money. And in our house, we've been tithing. We're always talking about tithing. We always talk about tithing testimonies. Something didn't break down, so that's a tithing testimony. Or, you know, if somebody gave me a free lunch, that's a tithing testimony. So my kids know about tithing. And Abel's been tithing for a long time. And if there's any middle schoolers in here today, or high schoolers, any college kids, I want to minister to you guys today, actually, because it's about obedience. But when Abel graduated high school, he went to college at PBA, Palm Beach Atlantic University. He was majoring in the engineering program there. And right about his sophomore year of college, in the second semester, I had this funny feeling that Abel had stopped tithing. And sometimes, you know, mothers are the first to know some things, but sometimes God lets them have a, you know, you can either repent now or I'm going to tell your mother and she's going to find out about it. And then it's going to be, you know, I'll have to say, there's Abel. Hello, Abel. I'm leaving the building, mother. You're going to talk about me. He's here. Anyway, so about that time in his sophomore year of college, I felt like that has happened. And I was waiting for the right opportunity to talk to Abel. Because, you know, sometimes you come to them, you know, you got to make sure you're saying it the right way. So anyway, I'm in my prayer closet. It's a Monday morning, and I get a phone call. And it's Abel. And when my kids call me in my prayer closet, I'm going to pick up the phone because it's usually somebody to be praying about. So I said, so he proceeds to tell me that he got in trouble at school. Palm Beach Atlantic Security, it's a Christian school, and he got in trouble with some of his friends and underage drinking. And Palm Beach Atlantic, they don't play down there. You know, it's serious business if you're on campus. And we talked about it, and I didn't have to say, you know, reprimand him. He felt terrible, really bad. And the dean, and he had to go before the dean. And it was a big deal at the school. And he was in, they were trying to lose his scholarship. Abel had almost like a full ride to Palm Beach Atlantic. He had community service scholarships, he had academic scholarships, and he was, they were just really being heavy-handed on it. And so there were some things he had to do and make it right. And I said, well, let's do the first thing. I had the opportunity to ask him, I said, have you stopped tithing? And he said, yes, he had. Probably about 3 months prior, he had stopped tithing. And so I said, well, this is what we do. We repent and we get back on the stick. We go back to tithing. And so, you know, his heart was very soft and he was, you know, ready to do all that. So long story short, he got back in my stand with PBA. You know, he finished his 2 years there. He was 2 years at PBA and then he was to transfer to UF. Well, it's very hard to transfer to UF, especially if you're in the engineering program. So he ended up, you know, a miracle, he was able to transfer into the mechanical engineering and aerospace program. And 3 years at UF, he finished, and he's making money through this whole time, he's tithing through this whole time. He ended up graduating with honors. Abel graduated with honors. Then his summer, he went to go, he was accepted into an internship in Madrid. So he spent like 3 months in Madrid. He had a month of travel there, and God led him to a church in Madrid. Anyway, he had some testimonies there. And then when he came back, when he got done traveling and having fun, he's like, I guess I can go to work now. So God opened the door through Andrew. Andrew had helped him get some entree there into his engineering facility that he's at in Jupiter. And a lot of his peers, he was hearing about all his peers making this much money as an salaried person, and Abel made quite a bit more because he's a tither. He made like 10 grand more than some of his other peers, and he got a lot of perks. And so all that to say is God has kept Abel, and God has increased Abel above and beyond what he couldn't imagine or think. And so every day, we are reminded to stay humble, to stay obedient to God. This is not a story about how you can not get caught underage drinking. That's not what I'm talking about today. I'm talking about what I learned as a toddler teacher when I first got saved. I started teaching the toddlers at our church, and the most simplest lesson was obedience brings blessing, disobedience brings trouble. Amen. Slice and dice it. I don't care what you do with it. That's basically the simple stuff. So when you're obedient, the Bible says, we're going to go to our scripture now in Malachi. Everybody knows this one. Malachi 3:10, the New King James Version says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now on this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. That's the part I want to focus on. He rebukes the devourer. You know, I'm an OR nurse. I work at a surgery center north of here. I talked about that last week, and I got paid on Friday. It's not a ton of a buttload of money, but I got paid on Friday, and I'm going to tithe. And if you had come up to me and said, look, Anna, I'll give you $2 million if you don't tithe on this check you just got, I would say, no way, Jose. No way, Jose, because $2 million could buy me a house, a new house, a new car, a new boat, maybe put some money in a CD or who knows what, and that's all I would have. But if you tithe, you get way more than that. You get protection. You get to be in a bubble. You get to be an umbrella covering you that has your protection. God has your, he's got your back, honey. He's got your back. I can think of three major accidents that our family has missed. I mean, on the 95, on the I-65, and watching it right in front of your eyes, and just you go right through it. Amen. You can't buy that stuff. Amen. You cannot buy that stuff. Right. That cannot buy you protection. Right. And you know, your relationships in your family that are going great, you think you can buy that? No. A health report that comes back as you don't have what they told you you had, you know? You're healthy. That you can't buy that stuff, right? Yeah. Amen. So we want to have the devourer rebuked in our life. And there's pretty much, that's as simple as it comes, right? Amen. So we are going to have our ushers come forward and receive our tithes and offerings today. And then we're going to watch a video. I just want to pray real quick. Father, I thank you for your anointing today, Lord, over every single tither and giver in this house. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you rebuke the devourer off of their household today in Jesus' name, Lord. If they are obedient, if they've never tithed before, if these youngsters have never tithed before, Lord, that they would start today. They would start today to make a consistent plan in their lives, Lord, that so you can lead them and guide them, Father. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you just keep your hand of protection around about us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
So glad that you are here today. Just sorry that I'm not there to be with you. As many of you know, Jill and I are in South Africa. We are on a ministry trip. We just attended the Christian Family Church International Convention or Conference in Johannesburg with Pastor Theon Webb's church. That's the church that I got saved at. It was a great conference. And then last weekend, we were in Cape Town. I was preaching for Pastor Allen and Janine Bagg and four services. We had an awesome time there. And this weekend, I am at Christian Family Church Johannesburg. It's an honor for me to preach there. That we probably have 7,000 or 8,000 people attending this weekend. And so thank you for praying for me. And the Lord's doing great things. I want you to know we've seen hundreds of people saved and we've seen miracles take place. And it's been a great trip. But we can't wait to get back. We really miss you. And I have a real word from the Lord for you next Sunday. I really encourage you not to miss next Sunday, because I'm going to be speaking about right on time. How that God is always right on time. You know, God has a set time, an appointed time. And you may have dreams that you've been waiting on. We've all got things we've been waiting on. Maybe waiting to meet the right person. Maybe waiting on your health to improve. Maybe waiting on a dream to be fulfilled. Whatever it is, I want to tell you, when you understand how that God is always at the right time, when you understand God's right time, it'll help you to just live worry-free. It'll help you to live burden-free. And so I really encourage you not to miss next Sunday. Bring a friend with you. We're really looking forward to seeing you next week. And I want to thank all of our volunteers who have served, or serve every week. Thank you for serving our setup team, our breakdown team, our ushers and our musicians and our children's workers and everyone who serves. Thank you so much. We so appreciate it. And family, I want to ask you to welcome today. Once again, we have my good friend, Mark Morvis from South Africa. He ministered last Sunday. I heard great reports about it, and I know it's going to be awesome today. So please, won't you give a big welcome to Mark Morvis.
Time last week Sunday. How many of you were not here last Sunday? Wow, that's a great amount. Are they going to have fun today, folks? Thank you, Jesus. Well, I'm so excited to be here. It's a great honor and privilege to be here speaking for your wonderful pastors. And I always like to say this, Pastor Steve is one of the coolest people that I know. And when I grow up, I want to be just like him. And some of you are looking at me funny. You might not recognize me. I just grew my hair from last week a little bit. And so I look, that's a joke. But anyway, good to be in the Sunshine State where I live too. How many of you know Jesus lives in Florida? Hallelujah. And so, you know, I usually go around, and I say that to most of the churches that I go to, even when I'm in Texas and Arkansas and Missouri, and believe me, it takes a lot of faith for me to say that when I'm in those states. And so we've got beautiful palm trees, beautiful resorts, beautiful ocean, beautiful weather. I mean, just, you know, it goes from very hot to hot all year round. And so it's just great to be in this weather. By the way, I grew up in South Africa, of course, as you heard. And also, I grew up on a little island off in the Indian Ocean called Mauritius. And so I know what it's like to live in tropical weather. So being in Florida feels like home. Anyway, go ahead and do this. Look at your neighbor and say, get ready, get ready, get ready. Look at your other neighbor and say, hey, good looking. Praise God. Hallelujah. Everybody awake, go ahead and put both of your hands up in there, shake them like palm trees. Say this with me. I'm like a tree, planted by the water. Say it one more time. I'm like a tree, planted by the water. Those are Florida palm trees waving right now. And so anyway, I just want to make sure that the juices get flowing, and we're going to get into this, and I believe that God has got some incredible things in store here for each and every one of us. Abel, why don't you go ahead and do me a favor and come and sit right here, my brother. I'm going to put you on the hot seat. All right. Hallelujah. Just go ahead and stretch out our hands towards this young man right now. Thank you, Jesus. Beautiful spirit, incredible heart. Of course, everybody's got a beautiful spirit and an incredible heart. I'm not saying that you guys are any less than Abel, but this is your time. And so the Spirit of the Lord says, and you probably heard this before, Abel, God is able. And so it's not by mistake that the Lord gave you even your name. And even as we heard last week, that before you were even in your mother's womb, God already predestined you for greatness in this life. And the Lord says that even though that you have been and grown up and been through the system, God says the system has not been able to penetrate, because even as you've gone through, God says He's given you an enormous insight, He's given you an enormous wisdom ahead of even your peers, says the Lord. And so know this, says the Lord, that my hand is upon you, and I'm pouring out great blessing upon your future and your destiny, because God is going to make some things that in the natural don't seem that we're able to do it. But God says, I am able to do the things which are destined within your heart, and they surely shall come to pass. And put your hands out. The Lord says, those hands I've given creative power, and I'm going to cause great kingdom, dominion, and wealth to come through your hands because I can trust you, says the Lord, for that which I give to you when I speak to you, I will be able to get through you. So know this, my hand is upon your life in a great way. And even concerning the small things, God says, I will make sure the crooked places are made straight, and I shall bring them to pass, says the Lord. So don't worry, for there has even been a season where you even felt a loneliness, but God says, I am in control, and because you're yielding that control to me, I am going to bring it to pass, is the Spirit of the Lord. Let's go ahead and give Jesus a big shout of praise. I just absolutely love the fact that God has a great sense of humor, you know. You know, who knows? You know, you walk into a church one Sunday, you hear a guy by the name of Abel, and then God says, give him a word and tell him I'm Abel in his life. Amen? And so that's the way it works. Amen. How many of you know God invented humor? All right. So, if you can't smile now, I don't know what you're going to do in the eternal realms of glory. When we get to heaven, I tell you what, you're going to be smiling from ear to ear. So you might as well practice now. Amen?
Amen.
And so, well, anyway, I don't want to get into too much, because I can, you know, I've been known to speak forever, and my messages can be like the mercy of the Lord and endure forever, and I'm not going to go ahead and put you through all of that this morning. But say this with me, fear not, have faith, and believe. Say that with me one more time, fear not, have faith, and believe. Now, you know, the reason why, you know, some people are going, well, the message type is a little bit different from last week, dreams, desires, and destiny, which I know that you guys were blessed by, and this is still under the same umbrella that we're ministering this morning, because understand this, that in this thing called dreams, desires, and destiny, there are obviously opposing forces in the earth that are working and trying to make time in opposing that which God has for your life. Are you with me? And so before the enemy even really has his way, if he can get into your head, he's going to try and do one thing, and that is put and install the spirit of fear. In other words, where you become so overwhelmed and hopeless, where failure begins to set in, and we never truly manifest that which God has for our lives. Are you with me? And so the enemy wants to keep you in the place and in the realm of fear. Can you see that the enemy is, by contrast, the exact opposite spirit of God? God is wanting us to operate in the realm of faith. In the unseen, come on. Are you with me? Faith receives what Jesus has already given us. Are you with me? Faith brings from the eternal realm everything that God has for your life now into existence. And as long as we can live in the realm of faith and not operate in the realm of fear, we can tap into the eternal purposes of God in the here and in the now. That's why I believe the number one plan of the enemy, now that you're saved and that you're in Christ Jesus. How many of you are in Christ here today? He wants to bring you in a place of not operating in that realm called faith. So say this with me, fear not.
Fear not.
Have faith.
Believe.
Believe. Let that sink in just for a few seconds here. Fear not. Have faith. Believe. Now, I don't care what your dream looks like here this morning, but I'm going to tell you right now, it takes your cooperation with heaven in order for that dream to be made manifest. Somebody said, I'm waiting on God. No, 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 you're not waiting on God. God is waiting on you. Everything that needs to be done has been done in the body of Jesus. All authority on in heaven and earth has been given to you and I. We have the name of Jesus. Everything that needs to be done in order for you to operate in the style of faith, to receive from the invisible, bring it into the natural, has already been given in the body of Jesus. What are we waiting for? Come on, church. Hey, let me go ahead and say this. You know, I'm not saying there's anything wrong, because I know that we can wait upon the Lord. But let's not take that to the extreme. Because otherwise you're going to be waiting on the Lord, and it's going to be 2025. And you're going to have a couple more wrinkles than you have right now. Jesus' name, wrinkle-free. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Forever young. I want to be forever young. Never mind. Praise God. So let me just go ahead. I'm going to go ahead and give you a little bit of an illustration here. When you wake up in the morning, are you waiting on your breakfast? Well, the truth of the matter is while your spouse might have prepared some bacon and eggs, you know, whatever, if you want to go healthier, go ahead and put whatever you need to on that table right now, mentally. But I don't mind having some, not every day, but I like to have some bacon and eggs every once in a while. Anybody with me in the room here? Fantastic. I'm glad I've got a few believers in bacon here. By the way, let me just go ahead and say this. How many of you know that Jesus, according to what we know, according to Scripture, there was no bacon? I mean, he wasn't eating bacon. We know that you know, the people, the Israelites, would have been very offended had he eaten bacon. Well, I thought to myself, how, if he knew that, you know, it's not what goes in but what comes out. I mean, I'm sure that he might have tested bacon, but I have no scriptural evidence other than the fact that occasionally we read in the Bible Jesus went to a solitary place. So now I know what he was doing there. Anyway, so breakfast can be served in the morning. And you can be in bed, and you can be waiting. If your wife leaves, goes to work, or come on, the other way around, your husband, he decided for whatever reason to make you breakfast in the morning and did a great job, or even ordered it in, and he's gone, you're still in the room waiting for your breakfast. Guess what? That breakfast is not going to hover off the table and make its way to your room, and the bacon slices are not going to come off the plate and put themselves and install them in little increments in your mouth. Are you with me?
Yes.
Anybody following what I'm saying?
Yes.
Come on. Let me go ahead and do it this way. So unless you get out of bed and you get on your 2 feet and you go on over to the table, you ain't gonna get no bacon. Come on, somebody. Because you gotta get out of bed and you gotta get into the kitchen. And when you get into the kitchen, you can take the pot of coffee, pour yourself a cup, go on over to the table, take your knife and fork, and begin to eat those bacon and eggs. But until you do that, you ain't gonna get none of it. Come on, Jesus has done everything that needs to be done. And until you get up out of bed, begin to rise up in your authority as a believer, you will begin to partake of the unseen realm and bring it into the natural. Fear will paralyze you. Fear will tell you that it's impossible. Fear will tell you that you cannot do it. But we cannot be overcome by fear. We must allow the faith of God to be at work within us. And you cannot cower and back down because of the opinions of people. Because many times when you make the decision to step on out of the place of fear, because let me go ahead and say this, stepping out in faith is like a salmon that swims upstream. You're doing everything that everybody else isn't doing, and you're swimming against the current. Anything dead can float downstream. And so when you begin to step out into the realm of faith, what happens is you begin to challenge the comfort of people's complacency. People would rather pull you down than have you pull them up. And so for a little while, it's okay Because once you begin to tap in and you pioneer the road of faith and you begin to see those things which are not come into the realm that is, and you begin to see that, then they're going to want to follow you. Some people only want to walk with you to the foot of a mountain, but they'll leave you at the foot of a mountain while you go up. Are you with me? Are we going to go up this day? People get offended. I mean, like, you know, I just put about a year ago, maybe less, I put up a photo. I mean, this, okay, outside of ministry, I believe in God for extraordinary things to happen in the ministry. Big things. Soul, number one, multitudes of souls being saved. Amen. Multitudes of people being delivered, touched, and set free in the church. I'm believing for America to see a mighty, great awakening like never before. So that's where my heart is at. But in the natural, there's some desires that I have. I remember just on Facebook, how many of you have beautiful Facebook? Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and all these social media platforms. Now, if you're doing YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook, you become U-Twit-Face. So I posted a picture of a Mercedes Benz. And I said, that's the car I believe in, for a debt-free Mercedes Benz, by the way. How many of you know that we can all go and get a Mercedes Benz? I mean, at least a lot of us can go to the dealership and get a Mercedes Benz. Does that mean we need to get ourselves into debt to try and please people that really don't like us anyway? Getting with the Joneses. So I'm believing for my car debt-free. So I put this picture up. And I'm telling you, you wouldn't believe the onslaught of the religious devil that came out against me. Because my one had beautiful red leather seats, white on the outside. How many of you was the bomb.com? But here's the kicker in people's mindsets. That if I had put a 4x4 truck on my wall, which, by the way, actually costs more than the Mercedes Benz, everybody would have been fine with it. Right. Yeah. So don't let people's opinions get in the way of what God wants to do with your life. I say to you, dream big. Your dream ain't over yet. It's not over. It's just coming. This place. I don't know about you. Yeah. How many of you excited that you came to church here today? Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I feel, I mean, I'm just in my rhythm here today. I can feel that rhythm here. Come on.
Yeah.
Rhythms of faith here this morning. Sorry if I walk out. And by the way, if the live stream is going on, I'm so sorry. We want to welcome everybody watching by way of the web, wherever you're watching from. Let's go ahead and welcome our live stream. But you know, let's go ahead and look at this really quickly. How many of you know that this is a word-based church?
Yes. That's right.
That where the word is taught and you are instructed in the foundations of God. Because ultimately we cannot rely on experiences. We have to be rooted in God's word. Like a tree planted by the water. A tree whose roots goes deep into the ground. So that when the hurricane comes, we're not going to be afraid. Speaking of which, and I can't say this for everybody, I remember, how many of y'all just remember Hurricane Irma? Okay, that's very recent. So of course, you know, this thing is supposed to come on this coast and people don't know what's going to happen. And every day, the course of this thing is just changing. And so by the end of the day, just like 24 hours before this thing is, or 18 hours before this thing is hitting, supposedly it's coming towards Tampa. That's where I live. And everybody is calling me from all around the planet saying, hey, this thing's coming straight for you. You better get out of town. And so look, I mean, I'm not in a flood evacuation zone. Now, come on. There's also common sense and then there's wisdom. Are you with me? Amen. Common sense and wisdom. But I felt at peace in the middle of the storm. I felt at peace. Now, I'm not saying that everybody that went and used wisdom and went and did what they had to do, I'm not coming against that. I just know what I felt in my heart, and I had to go with what I said. So, of course, brave me got on a Facebook Live video and told everybody that God's told me to stay, and I don't care what that hurricane does. It can come right down my street, but it will not touch my house. Child of God, and that thing will not touch my house. So of course, you know, by the time the thing, I mean, the strength of the enormous, I mean, how many of you realize it was a big hurricane, and it lost its strength, but guess what? So the deal is this, is that it comes over Tampa, and obviously by that time it's lost its strength, but the point is, 90% of our entire area got the electricity cut off, as I'm sure that happened on this side. But everybody was coming to my house for 3 or 4 days to use our shower because our electricity and everybody else's was cut.
Amen.
While everybody was stuck in their home and the awful humidity, I was laying down in bed having a great cup of coffee, glory to God. Sipping on a cappuccino and saying, yes, you're welcome to come and use my shower and cook some food and do whatever you need to do. But let me just go ahead and say that. And so I put my neck out on the line, and then after the fact, your head's going, you're crazy. You put yourself on Facebook Live. What happens if something happens now? That's faith. Amen?
Amen.
The same thing. You've got to operate in the realm of faith where God's told you to operate. You cannot allow fear to come in and strip you and rob you. Whatever that fear comes, it might come in the form of people. It might come in the form of people playing on people's minds, using them to say things. It might even come in the form of the enemy coming on your shoulder and telling you, you're never going to do this. You're never going to do that. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. It's not going to this. It's not going to that. No. So many people are living life right now, not even doing what they're called to do because they've given in to the no, you can't, no. And you've settled. When God has called you to live a greater life, filled with faith. Why? Ultimately, because when people look at you, they will see the glory of the manifest living God working through you. And that's all God's about. He is a show-off God. He wants to show off inside of you. He wants to show up strong on your behalf. I'm not here to make you happy here this morning. And so be it if it does turn out that way. But I'm just here to tell you the reality of the word. This is not even made up. This is in the Bible.
Amen.
Woo! Glory to God. Yes. Come on. God is able.
Amen.
Say that with me. God is able.
God is able.
So faith, simply faith, is the credence, the moral conviction of religious truth or truthfulness of God, especially reliance upon Christ for salvation. Hebrews 11, verse number 1, with, you know, the chapter of faith. It says here, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Come on. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Come on. Faith receives what Jesus has already given. So while we understand, call those things which be not as if they are, well, they are not here right now. But in the eternal purpose of promises of God and Christ's provision, they've already been given because God knew ahead of time everything you would ever need. So calling those things which are not as if they are, while they might not be here now, they've already been created. Faith receives what he's already created from the invisible into the natural. It's already there, provided for you. Pull it out of heaven. Look at verse number 6 here, Hebrews 11, verse 6. I mean, I literally, you've got to understand, I am not a teacher, like a teacher, precept upon precept, that is going to get up here. Pastor Steve has a teaching anointing, and he can veer off into some preaching. Pastor Jill is a very strong teacher too. I preach more than I teach, but I mean, I'll break down the word, but the point of the matter is, it takes me, you know, Pastor Theo, for instance, will prepare a message, and I will go ahead and verbatimly write down the scriptures, even verbatimly write some of the things that he says, and I'll have like 3 pages of notes, and I'll get up to preach it, and I haven't even got through half of the first page. But look at verse 6. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Say this with me. Without faith,
it's impossible
to please God.
Please.
Now it says here, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek. Now those who come to God must what?
Believe.
Say it again. Believe. Someone say this with me. Have faith.
Have faith.
Fear not. And believe. The word of God says, the Apostle Paul, speaking to Timothy, he says, stir up the gift of God, which I'm imparting to you. Stir up the gift of God by the laying on of my hands. He said, because God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind. So we can also say that for God has given you a spirit of faith. And of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. So God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he has given us a spirit of faith. Faith is the currency and the language of God. If we want to see results, we have to speak his language. His language is the language of faith. And when we walk by faith, it is a demonstration of our part, of our complete and total trust in him. Do you trust him?
Yes.
Do you trust him?
Yes.
He says now, for without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Let me tell you right now, so that we don't over-formalize things. God is not a formula. Are you with me? Say that with me. God's not a formula. He is a person. He is real. Are you with me? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the triune God, the Trinity, the Godhead, 3 in 1. The Holy Spirit's not a dove. He's not a flat. He's all of those are symbols of the Holy Spirit, but he is a person. The Holy Spirit, he. When he comes, will testify of Jesus. He will bear witness of the truth. And this is not some new age thing. It's not she either. It's he. Sorry, I don't know where that came from. It's not in my notes. I promise you come and see it for yourself. But God is a rewarder of those, he who comes to God must believe, and he is a rewarder of those who will diligently seek him. Now, diligent seeking, where I'm saying this is not a formula, to diligently seek God is to be constantly aware that we should be placing our trust in him. When we are placing our trust in him, we are in the place of consistently releasing faith so that God can do what he wants to do. So when we diligently seek him, God is, why is God pleased? Have you ever thought about why God is pleased? God is pleased when we operate in faith for one single reason. It puts him in a position to be the rewarder that he is wanting to be in your life. Oh man, I'll say that one more time. It puts him in the position to be the rewarder that he is wanting to be in your life. Amen. God is wanting to reward you more than you're wanting to receive your rewards. Amen. Say this with me. Fear not.
Fear not.
Have faith.
Have faith.
Believe.
Believe.
Well, let's go ahead and put faith in the beginning rather than fear not at the beginning of that sentence. Say this,
have faith,
fear not, and believe. Romans 8, number 15 says here, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. Come on, say that with me. I did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. What does it say here? It says, but you have received the spirit of adoption by whom you cry out, Abba, Father. So if you have not received the spirit of fear, come on, again to fear, the spirit of bondage again to fear, we have received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The spirit of adoption is being placed in him. Therefore, the spirit of fear that we used to once be held captive by is no longer there because we have been made a new creation. We have been adopted. Come on, we've been taken out of the kingdom of darkness, brought into the kingdom of his glorious son. Come on, we received the spirit of adoption. We are now joint heirs with Christ. We have been adopted. That means legally standing. Everything that belongs to him, I am an heir of. No more fear because I am a part of the family of God and God is wanting to reward me. Come on over with me. Hallelujah. We've received the spirit of adoption. You've been adopted. You're Jesus' little brother.
Amen.
It's true. The Bible says, for whom he foreknew, he, according to Romans chapter 8, in that chapter, go ahead and read it for yourself. He, for whom he foreknew, he predestined, that's Jesus, to be conformed into the image of his son. And then it talks about many just like him among the brethren. Come on, that he would, was the first prototype, that he would die, go to hell, come on, defeat hell, death in the grave, go up, be seated at the right hand of the Father, so that the Bible says, where I am, you will be also. In other words, the current place of authority and glory and anointing, he says, where I am, in my Father's house, are many mansions, are you with me? But he was also saying that where I am now, situated in this place of glory and anointing, I'm going to come and do the pinnacle of my ministry. I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit so that where I am now, you can have what I have. What's going to happen in West Palm Beach? What's going to happen in Jupiter? Oh, that one of you would grab a hold of what is being said here today. If one of you will dare to believe, there is no telling what can happen to your city. There is no telling what can happen in Jupiter. There is no telling. Oh, that one of you would be apprehended by the spirit of faith that God has for you. I know that you look very serious right now, but you're seriously happy.
Yes.
You're seriously excited.
Yes.
How many of you are seriously excited right now?
Yeah.
Praise God. I hope that you put your roast on slow cook today. Praise God. Say this with me, nothing's impossible.
Nothing is
impossible. Nothing is impossible. I'm going to go ahead, and I've got a lot more to say, but I want to make sure that I'm led by the Spirit here. I made the commitment to pray over everybody here today, so we're going to get through some formalities in just a few moments as we wind things up, and then we're going to go ahead and pray a blessing over every single person in this house today. How many of you would like to have a blessing from the Lord? Now, I believe that the Lord allowed me to do this from last Sunday to go ahead and just so I can go ahead and prophetically say this, that for everybody that will come and fully trust Him, allow the what you're hearing, what you're sitting under right now, to really just be deposited in you and on you as you allow that spirit of faith. I tell you what, when hands are laid on, not because of what I'm giving you, but because of what He gives you, come on. Everything is of Him. I can't give you anything. Come on, I can change you worth a lick, but He can.
Yes.
It's not my job to try and change you. It's my job to preach the Word and allow the Holy Spirit to do the work only He can do.
Amen.
It's my job to love you. But I believe everybody, if we will consecrate today as saying, Lord, in a way, what's happening right now is, you know what repentance is? Repentance, really, if we look at the definition of the word repentance, it simply means to change our minds. Why? Because you can actually sit here going, man, I've allowed fear to come into my life. You're sitting here right now and you're going, man, I really need to stop worrying about what people think. Because you're listening to truth. And while you're going, I need to stop. That right there is you're saying, I repent of wrong thinking. So as you allow your minds to be renewed and repentance, the washing of the water, that's the washing of the water of the Word. Because the Word comes, truth comes, confronts the fears that are going on. Immediately we're responding to the truths that we're hearing, and we realize we've got some wrong thinking, some things that we've yielded to. We've allowed fear to come in. Immediately truth is confronting the fear we've allowed to come in, and repentance, the washing of the water. So now truth is dispelling every bit of fear so that faith can come in its place, so that ultimately God can reward you and be and do what He wants to desire to do in your life. Oh man, I'm so glad I came to church. I'm learning something today.
Amen.
So we know that here in the book of Mark, the 5th chapter, you don't have to go there right now. You can go and study that, some homework. Say this with me, Mark chapter 5. All right, just remember that, Mark chapter 5. All right, just remember the crazy preacher's name's also Mark, and that'll maybe remind you. Say five times and then you'll remember and read it. But the point is that we know the story about the woman with the issue of blood. How many of you know the story? That you know, she had done everything that she could to be healed of her, you know, she had an issue. The woman with the issue of blood, she just kept on bleeding. We don't want to get into the details of that, but just before this account, a man by the name of Jairus comes. And he says, listen, my daughter is dying. He's got a 12-year-old daughter. She's dying. Please, would you come and pray for her so that she can be made whole? Jesus, the Bible says, agrees. His agreement was in the words, and he followed him. That means he was on his way, which means he agreed to come and do and heal this man's daughter. Are you with me?
Yes.
So he was following him. How many of you understand that's agreement? On his way, this woman in the crowd, the NIV translation actually says, the crowd almost crushed him. This woman touches the hem of his garment. Immediately, the Bible says he felt virtue flowing out of him. What did he feel? The anointing was withdrawn. How many people were touching Jesus? Multitudes. But there was a touch of faith that came. the multitudes, in the middle of the multitudes thronging him, faith touched him. Are you with me? She came to her end. Listen, I mean, I'm not even allowed to, by law, I'm not even allowed to, I should be outside the city gates, I should be stoned to death. I'm going to come and creep in. This is my last hope. She went to the sorcerers, the witch doctors, you name it. She did everything that she could. In fact, the Bible says she grew worse. So now, Jairus is going, great, Jesus. That's beautiful. So glad you healed her. Because by this time, Jairus now receives the news. Your daughter is dead. And Jesus stops in the middle of all of this to take care of some other woman. Thank you, Jesus. So glad you helped the other woman, but my daughter's dead. Jesus answered and said to him, come on, he said, fear not, only believe. Say that with me, fear not.
Fear not.
Only believe.
Only believe.
So Jesus actually said the title of my message this morning. He was saying, say this with me, say, have faith.
Have faith.
Fear not.
Fear not.
Only believe.
Only believe.
So Jesus, just like Pastor Steve, really cool. He's got this. And he walks to the house of Jairus. Are you with me? And there's a whole bunch of people that are laughing. Come on. There are people that are mocking the dream that God has of your life. They are mocking. They're looking over you. They'll say, you are never going to accomplish. You've tried, but it failed. Look, it's dead. They will mock and they will scorn you. And they will try to keep you in the place of defeat. But I'm here to tell you that the voice of the Most High God is here telling you, have faith. Have faith. Fear not. Believe, for that which people have said is dead is not dead, it's just sleeping, and my spirit is coming to breathe life upon it again. Come on, give Jesus a shout of praise. You have been ridiculed over. That people want, they are jealous of anything in the form of success coming from your life. They'll mock you and they want you to be normal. Just like them, but their normal is dead. Yes. Who do you think you are? Well, I know who I am. I'm a child of God. That's right. Say it right. Say it one more time. That's it. I'm a child of God. How many of you are children of the Lord here today?
Yes.
How many of you glad that you're not where you used to be?
Yes.
But you're also pressing forward because you know that there's much more than where you're currently situated right now. And between what you used to be and where you are right now, the enemy is trying to keep you in your now moment in the place of defeat. But if you will allow the word of the living God to come and renew your mind today, what you allow him to do in you today by the Spirit of the Lord is going to unlock the promises of your destiny in your present and in your future and in your tomorrow. For God has not forgotten your address. He knows where you live, and his thoughts towards you are yes and amen. He loves you with an everlasting love. And he will do what he said that he would do. I'm sweating on TD Jakes right now. Like the great bishop. I come from Africa, y'all better understand this. I live in America, I came from Africa, I'm a United States citizen now, that makes me African-American. Yeah. Legit, I come from the motherland. Born in the soil of Africa. So excuse me if I get a little bit excited. How many of you have been blessed this morning?
Yes.
Oh, come on. I'll tell you what. If you are not encouraged today, Lord have mercy. Well, I'll tell you what. I feel like running over a mountain right now. I don't know about you. I mean, I felt like maybe I was at the bottom of a mountain, but I feel like I'm going to run. I'm not even going to just climb there. I'm going to run leaps of faith up the mountain. I'm going somewhere, baby, and I'm not coming down. And I don't care what people say. If they're going to look at you and say, come down, you say, no, come up in Jesus' name. Because where I am right now, I can see clearly now. Come on, are you with me? I can see all obstacles
in my way.
Come on. And they're all gone and they're melting like wax in the presence of the Lord. So we're going to go ahead and do a couple of formalities here. After all of the formalities, we're going to have some of the worship team and the drummer who no longer is there. I promise you there was a drummer there earlier. I'm not making this up, but he's not there right now. He can just tap on the platform. No, I'm just kidding. We'll have some of the worship team up, and then we're going to go ahead and pray for everybody. If you have to go and you feel like, my God, I've got everything I came for here today, you're fine. Go ahead. You are released and go to eat your roast at home. That's all right. But if you want to stay and have hands laid on you, it's not going to be a very prolonged thing other than I'm going to pray and we're going to go through a line and lay hands on you just as a way of sealing our faith that we're declaring to heaven, today, God, I am making a vow in the sense I am making a statement to say, Lord, I'm going to get back on track and believe you for everything that you've called for my life.
Amen.
That's what we're going to do. And we're going to go ahead in just a second. We're going to play a quick video here right now. I want you to understand that what you're about to see is about a minute and a half. And it's very, if you have children here, then you may want to cover their eyes. I mean, it's emotionally, it'll pull at your heart. But what I'm about to show you was something that God showed me in a meeting, just like one of these meetings. About America. God showed me pictures of starving children, starving physically on the point of death. And I'm thinking, God, why are you showing me these pictures? I know I have a heart to feed the poor, the widows and the orphans. I said, but Lord, what is this about? He said, that is the way so much of my church looks spiritually. They might look good on the outside, but spiritually they are so malnourished. And so God has given us a heart for this great land.
Amen.
So just as much as you have a heart for what you're about to see, the depth of what that means, by how it pulls at your heart, is the depth of how we feel about this great land. That God is going to do something great. I'm going to go ahead and let you watch the video, and then it's over to Pastor Tom. Go ahead. Thank you. God bless you guys.
That's moving. But the church is starving too. You happen to be in a church that serves full course meal. And if your spirit's hungry, you'll be fed and you will be nourished. But this is really an encouragement to us to press on in and to come up in that level of faith Pastor Mark was talking about today, so that we are able to feed. It's not just feeding the hungry. Yes, that's part to do that. But we're to feed one another. We're to feed the hungry that are out there. They're the ones that need to be strengthened and built up. And God's going to make sure in these last days that those that have that hunger are going to be fed, and they're going to feed the others that are out there. Amen. Now, as I was praying this week, Pastor Steve asked me to do the guest offering, and the Lord spoke to me, and I didn't even know this before we saw about this fear not. But God said, I want you to be a cheerful giver, not a fearful giver. And as I realized that, I started looking in the Word, and I want to read, and this is from the Message Bible, and second pair of eyes here. I'm going to read this. This is 2 Corinthians 9. I'm going to start with verse 6 and go down through 11. Remember, a stingy planter gets a stingy crop, a lavish planter gets a lavish crop. I want each of you to take plenty of time to think it over and make up your own mind what you will give. This will protect you against sob stories and arm twisting. You know what that is? That's pressure tactics, which I'm going to talk about that. But God loves it when the giver delights in the giving. That's the cheerful, not the fearful. God can pour out the blessings in astonishing ways so that you're ready for anything and everything. God pours out the blessing more than just ready to do what needs to be done. As one psalmist put it, he throws caution to the winds, giving to the needy in reckless abandon. His right living, right giving ways never run out, never wear out. This most generous God who gives seed to the farmer that becomes bread for your meals is more than extravagant with you. He gives you something you can then give away, which grows into full-formed lives, robust in God, wealthy in every way, so that you can be generous in every way, producing with us great praise to God. Now, I think we need an understanding of what giving is more than an appeal to make you feel like you need to give. If you understand what giving is, and you get that revelation, then giving becomes part of what you believe. It becomes part of your faith. And, you know, Paul brought understanding about giving, and they gave out of love and deep concern. I want you to give out of love and deep concern. You know, I was meeting with them, they were talking about some business, and I realized that there was this Rich Dad, Poor Dad series that we had a game we were playing, and there's different types of income, but the best kind of income is a passive income. It's where you've invested, and then money comes back to you without you actually having to work for it. It's a return on that investment. You've heard, you know, when you rest, God works, and when you work, God rests. Well, the passive income is as you give into the kingdom of God. God, it says down here that the most generous God gives seed to the farmer that becomes bread for your meals. He's multiplying that. So as you're giving into the kingdom of God, as you're giving, what's going to happen is you are going to see a return. There's going to be a passive income. I shared one time that we have a trust, you know, wealthy people have a trust account, and my kids one time said, well, I said, how does this young man make a living? Oh, he has a trust account. Well, there's a trust account in God, but today it's about passive income. We have a passive income. We see from our tithing and our giving, God is returning that. He's multiplying that.
That's right.
And you're going to find that all your needs are going to be met. You're not, you know, when you put your faith to it, you're going to find that God provides everything that you have need of. And God will multiply the seed sown. He'll develop your passive income, you know, today by investing in the ministry that you heard today. And what I like is it says, if you don't have anything to give, you need to invest in this passive income so you've got something, because it says he gives you something you can then give away. If you don't have something to give, you need to invest in God, because he's going to give you something to give into the ministry. And it says, which grows into full-formed lives, robust in God. Mark's ministry, he's producing this, what I see is full-formed lives, lives of faith. We want to grow in faith. We want to be fully formed. We want to be developed. This word today is developing us. And God's going to give you what it takes to give into these ministries that you can see these formed lives. So give out of love and deep concern. This isn't about Mark. It's about his ministry. It's about where God is sending him. It's about lives that are being touched. We were touched today. We were stirred up. Our faith was ignited. Okay? You're being formed. You're well formed now. And as he goes forth, he's going to be well forming those lives that God sends him to. So let's send him off today with what God has given you. And if not, start today and see how God will multiply that seed so that you will have what it takes to give when God calls you to. Amen? All right. You know how to give. There's the methods up on the screen here. But just hear from the Lord and you'll see how good God is. Amen? Amen. All right, we're going to watch a video about Christian Growth Seminar. And then after that, anyone has to leave. And those that want to have that touch from the Lord today, come forth here. And we're going to have a nice service with Pastor Mark. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to be starting the final Christian Growth Seminar for this year. And I really want to encourage you, if you haven't yet attended the Christian Growth Seminar, you really need to do this. It is a life-changing Bible study. I can't tell you how many people have told me how this changed their life. I've had so many people tell me, Pastor Steve, I've been a Christian for 15 years, 20 years, and yet I learned more in the 4 nights of the Christian Growth Seminar than I've learned my whole Christian life. You really need to attend this class. So it starts on Tuesday, November the 7th. I'm going to be teaching the class. The class is free of charge. And I want to, if you haven't attended this, I want you to raise your hand right now, and the ushers are going to give you a sign-up, an enrollment card for that card. So we learned so much on this course. You'll learn, you know, how to know that you're going to heaven when you die, you understand salvation, you understand water baptism, you learn how to pray and see results when you pray, you learn how faith works, you learn how to walk in God's financial blessing, you learn how to find your place in the kingdom of God, and there's so many things you're going to learn. You need to do this. So I hope to see you there, November the 7th, that's on a Tuesday night. Don't miss it. God bless you.
It's a wonderful experience. You must come to the Christian Growth Seminar.
It's opened up a whole new world in the Bible. I've gone to church all my life.
I thought it was incredibly awesome, life-changing.
Pastor Steve is amazing. He make it so easy and so understanding.
It's really powerful. I, I, I learned so much in a short period of time.
And I've been a Christian for a number of years, and surprisingly, in every section, there was something to be learned.
I have been a seeker of truth for as long as I can remember, and I have learned more in this experience than I have the whole time in my many years.
I thought it was phenomenal. I loved it. Pastor Steve Barry is a wonderful teacher. He explains things that created in me a new hunger and a fire for more of God's Word.
Pastor Steve is a wonderful teacher. He brings a lot of clarity and depth of experience to his teaching. We just enjoyed the class thoroughly. It refreshed our Christian walk, and we grew closer to each other, actually, as a couple. So we're very grateful for the class.
I would recommend it to any new Christian, old Christian, anybody that wants to further their faith.
And let's just say there's more fire, we're reading the Word more than ever, and it's just been incredible. I don't want it to end. Incredibly awesome. Most definitely, I would recommend it to anybody in the community.
I would invite all your friends, if I were you, to come and share this experience.
Please make sure you do attend this class, because you're going to understand things that could take you years and years to understand otherwise. It'll cut through a lot of questions for you. So I really suggest this for your growth.
And I recommend it to everybody.
I think it would well worth coming to.
Really, really enjoyed it, and I would suggest this class for anybody.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Every head bowed, every eye closed, just really quickly before we move forward. We can have the keys play. Thank you, Jesus. Every head bowed, every eye closed. This is the most important part of the service. You might be here today